It's City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi. And now the host of our program, City Desk, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Here's Mr. Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. We are recording this City Desk podcast on Thursday, May 3, and it is 10:36 here at Biloxi City Hall. We have just a host of activities that are taking place right now. Today is National Day of Prayer, Thursday, May 3rd. That'll be taking place today at City Hall. The other thing that we're doing today is we're christening the city's new fireboat. That's going to be at 4 o'clock over at the Biloxi Small Craft Harbor. But anybody, regardless of when you're listening to this program, you can go down to the Biloxi Small Craft Harbor and you can see the boat in its mooring location right there on a floating dock at the Biloxi, near the Biloxi, the boat ramp there at the Biloxi Small Craft Harbor. Cecilia Dobbs Walton, Public Affairs Specialist for the city, is here with us for the show, and we're going to have a special guest to talk about a month-long series that's going to be underway in Biloxi starting today also. But Cecilia, you took a ride on this fireboat. How was it?
I did. It was really nice. There's a lot of room on the inside. They have room to transport patients inside. You know, they have two guns, water guns, one on the front, on the back, so they can fight fire while they're out on the water. So it's a very good asset for the Biloxi Fire Department.
And you can verify now, because you're on the boat, it is not steam, correct?
Sorry to tell you, William, but you are correct.
Okay.
This, however, is a $260,000 vessel. It is 33 feet long. It replaces a fireboat that is 17 years old that was 27 feet long. This boat is all aluminum. It can reach speeds up to 42 miles an hour. It's got two 300-horsepower Yamaha outboard engines, and it was built up in North River Boats, which is in Oregon. Why did we have it built in Oregon, 3,000 miles away from Biloxi? Because this company is one of the few in the country that builds fireboats of this size. They could do it for a better price. They've done it a whole bunch of times. This is not a knock on our local boat builders. You are going to be seeing examples of the work of our two local boat builders when we have the great schooner race this weekend. And he was not here to talk about that, but I'm going to ask him to talk about the history of why these schooner races are important. And Bill Raymond, the historic administrator for the City of Biloxi and the manager of the Biloxi Visitor Center, joins us. Bill, talk about the schooner races.
Yeah, this dates back to the late 1800s, early 1900s, when they were doing the schooner, the White Wing, Race of the White Wings, and it would be the schooner races, and when they were off-season, we used to have, you know, just a plethora of schooners out there, and so they would race the schooners, and it became a tourist attraction. People would come from all over the coast, come from New Orleans, just for these races, and, you know, and then it evolved into later, it was the Race for the Case. I think we had a couple of mishaps on during Race of the Case. So it's exciting that we're bringing this back. This is something that's well over a 100-year-old tradition coming back to Biloxi.
And the thing about it this year is it's sponsored by the Biloxi Bay Area Chamber of Commerce and hosted by the Seafood Industry Museum, and it's going to be the Glenn L. Sweatman and the Mike Seacool are going to be racing from the schooner pier, and they're going to go down past the Biloxi Lighthouse. It's all going to depend on how the wind is blowing, but Cecilia, the public has a way to not only watch this race anywhere along the beachfront, primarily around the Biloxi Lighthouse, but there's going to be some kind of big after party?
There is. First of all, the race again is Saturday, May the 5th. It starts at noon from the schooner pier, so it'll go along the beachfront. And right after, they're going to have an after party. There'll be entertainment. The admission is free, but they'll have a cash bar. They'll have fish plates. And where is that going to take place?
It's going to be at the schooner pier, but the big question is what time it's going to be, because it's no telling. These boats are slow, let me tell you that. They are slow because they have actually ballast has been added to these boats because they are passenger boats. But it's at the schooner pier. What else information do you have about it?
But that's it. Just that also there's commemorative T-shirts that are available. They'll be there at the I believe they'll be there at the race, but they'll also be at gift shops at the Maritime and Seafood Museum and at the Biloxi Visitor Center. The T-shirts are only $20.
Okay, this sounds like a pretty cool deal, and it's going to start Saturday about noon along the waterfront. What?
We're going to go ahead and turn the live cam that's on the top of the lighthouse that normally looks down the highway. We're going to go ahead and turn it south on Saturday so you can see the boats coming past.
But you may have to wait a while.
You might have to wait. It's still, you get beautiful view of the water.
And you can see that live feed on the city's website on the top left. Just click on the lighthouse and you'll see the live feed.
That's our secret little link. Okay, Bill, you're here to talk about something else. And it is a month-long thing that y'all have won awards for, and it's Preservation in May.
Yeah, this is our 11th annual Preservation in May. I couldn't believe that we've been doing it this long. And it's our chance to celebrate National Historic Preservation Month. And we do it by having events every week during the month of May, celebrating different parts, different parts of Biloxi's history. It kicks off tonight. This is Thursday. So we're kicking off at the north side of the Biloxi Cemetery with the cemetery tour. And we're going to be highlighting three African-American families that are buried in that northern part with family members telling the story of the people there. And I think it's really a chance that a lot of us know the cemetery was up there, but we never go up. We've never been to the north side. So this is a chance to see an area of the cemetery that they might not have been. And it's actually, I was there all morning with the news people, and it's absolutely beautiful up there.
Is it a segregated cemetery?
It is not. There is just, you know, many people for years said that's where all the African Americans were buried, but it's really not. You know, that's just a later addition to the cemetery. Our former mayor, Danny Geis, who just passed away a few months ago, he's buried up there in that section. That's where his family's buried.
But you're right. Most things focus on the south side of the CSX railway, so this will be something really good for people to go see that.
Yeah, it really is, and it's a beautiful area back in there. It's very peaceful. I was watching a program the other day back in the Victorian times. Cemeteries were gathering places for people. That's where they would go for recreation. They'd go for relaxation. They would hang out in cemeteries.
Bill, I wanted to ask you on what you just said. The cemetery on the north and south side of the railroad track. Was the cemetery there before the railroad track? And did the railroad tracks come after? Historically, it's very interesting.
No, the cemetery dates back, the Southside Cemetery dates back to before the railroad tracks. I believe the north side was actually built after the railroad tracks were put in place. Now, the Southside Cemetery actually dates before we have a highway, before there was even a road down, you know, the cemetery at one time went to the water's edge, which we found out last week when they uncovered some remains in the north-south of the wall that separates the outside of the cemetery.
What we thought was the outside of the cemetery, and it's got to do a lot with hurricanes over the years. Okay, now, we talked a lot about the cemetery. However, that is going to be today, the day we're doing this podcast. There are going to be people who are going to be listening to this podcast, just throngs and throngs of people throughout the week. But this is a month-long observance or celebration of our history. Tell me what else you got going on.
Yeah, as I said earlier, we do at least one event a week. One week we'll actually have two events, but like next Thursday, which is the 10th, we'll be at the Biloxi Visitor Center, and the National Park Service will be in town. And they have been working over the last year on a study of civil rights sites throughout the state, including some in Biloxi. And they are going to be presenting their findings, because they're looking at possibly doing a whole national register district that encompasses the whole state for civil rights. And so they're going to be presenting their findings and asking for public input for that. So people are asked to come out and to give their input, listen to what they found, and I'm sure there's a lot more information that the public has that the National Park Service could use. So that's just another event.
And when they do that, they're going to also probably, I can't talk today. They're going to be talking about the significance of the Dr. Gilbert R. Mason office, I would think.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely one of the sites that was identified by the National Park Service. And actually, the National Park Service put that on the list on the National Register of Historic Places late last year that got added. So that's another historic landmark we have in Biloxi. And then the following week on Thursday, we're actually going to go to Nativity. They are celebrating the Nativity Cathedral Parish is celebrating their 175th anniversary. And one of the programs they're doing is every month they do a program talking about one of their stained glass windows. Father Dennis does the liturgical significance of the window, and then local historian Edmund Boudreau will talk about the family that donated the window. It's a very interesting program, so we incorporate that into our preservation in May. And all of these events are free to attend. It doesn't cost anything. And one of the other things that we also do is we have a passport program where we give out a passport, and there's six events. You go to three of those events and show up at the very last one, which is on the 31st, and it's going to be Mass's Nativity. At St. Michael's Church for the Mass of the Fishermen, which kicks off Blessing of the Fleet, which is one of our oldest celebrations here on the coast. And then we're going to go to the Maritime and Seafood Industry Museum afterwards for some time with some of our former shrimp queens talking about their time as queen. So it's an evening with fishermen and queens. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But at that event, you've got three stamps. You're there. You will get a free gift for participating in the program.
Come on. You're not going to say what it is.
You know me, it's always the last minute figuring out what the gift's going to be. So,
okay. So this entire schedule is on the website, but in a rundown, what we're talking about is on the 17th is when you're going to be at Nativity. On the 21st is when we actually have the Preservation Awards. On the 24th is when you're going to be at the Orr O'Keeffe Museum of Art. And on the 31st is when you're going to have the event that you just mentioned, celebrating our seafood heritage. How do you come up with the theme every year?
We're really just looking at what's going on. And, part of a lot of what's going on this year is we got a grant and did a survey of East Biloxi African-American resources last year, and we wanted to build off of that and use some of the information. That's part of the reason we're going to Orr, because that City Within a City exhibit, a lot of what we learned in that resource survey was used in that exhibit, so that's why that got incorporated in there. But we just want to tell a different story and do a different kind of events, because we've done tours, we've done lectures, we've done scavenger hunts. It's anything to engage people in the coast history. Now, I want to remind people that one of our events is on the 21st of May, and that's going to be the Preservation Awards. We are still accepting nominations for those awards, and we will through the 11th of the month. And we're looking for to honor individuals, companies, businesses, whatever it is, that have done something to help preserve Biloxi's history and to teach that Biloxi's history in the last 2 years, because we give those awards out every 2 years.
The person or the company does not have to be from Biloxi, but their work.
The preservation work would need to be here in Biloxi, taking place in Biloxi. And we've honored a lot of different people over the years. And then one of our awards, our Lifetime Achievement Award, is named for Julia Geis, who was a longtime historic preservation advocate here in Biloxi.
Cecilia, what else do you have for this program?
Well, just remember, like Bill said, that all that information, the schedule, is on our website at biloxi.ms.us. We also have brochures that are at city facilities and at the visitor center if you want to pick it up, so you will have it in hand to see where the events are and what times, and most of them are in the evenings. This weekend, as Vincent mentioned, we don't forget about the schooner race we have on Saturday. We also have some registrations coming up in our aquatics division. The Biloxi Red Tide Swim Team, it's the City of Biloxi Park and Recreation Summer Swim League. And registration will begin Saturday from 8 a.m. to noon at the Biloxi Natatorium. Now, this is open to ages 18 and younger who can swim 25 yards efficiently. They do have practice in the evenings, and they also have swim meets throughout the summertime.
What's the date of the registration?
Saturday, May the 5th, 8 a.m. to noon at the Biloxi Natatorium. Also at the Biloxi Natatorium, same day, this Saturday, May the 5th, is registration for our summer swimming lessons. Now, Saturday is just open for Biloxi residents, 8 a.m. to noon. And we have swim lessons that we offer for ages 6 months up to adults. Now, the summertime, of course, is the most sought out for swim lessons, so they do fill up really quickly. So Saturday for Biloxi residents, 8 a.m. to noon. Then Monday, May the 7th, non-Biloxi residents and late registration will begin from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Kids and adults?
Correct. Ages 6 months to adults, it's open for. And that information is, as always, on our website at biloxi.ms.us.
Gee, she talks so fast, you know. I mean, doesn't she? She just rattles it off. She's steam-powered.
Thank you.
Okay, we have another museum that is, a lot of times it's overlooked here in Biloxi, and that is the Biloxi Fire Museum, known as the West End Hose Company No. 3 on Howard Avenue. And, Bill, they're going to have some food coming up. What's the date and what's the event?
It's going to be this Friday, May 4th, from 11 to 2. They're going to be doing fish plates and shrimp plates. The price of the plates are $8, and that helps raise money for the museum. This museum was completely put together by volunteers and is run by volunteers, so any support we can help give them is great. And I would suggest you can pre-order by call the police department, fire department, and pre-order your plates, or get there early, because I know the last couple they've sold out very quickly because they're just so popular and the food's delicious.
And the beauty is when you go to this event on this Friday, you can get free admission to go in and tour the museum. Why is it called West End Hose Company?
Because that was the name of the group that each one of the fire stations had a different name for what they did, and they actually had operated a hose truck. Yeah.
My understanding is that they did not have a bunch of fire wagons. Uh-huh. They would have one or two wagons, and they had hoses all around the city.
Exactly, yeah. This goes back to the days before we actually had a professional fire department. It was all volunteer fire department at that time when they first started doing this.
So it was a hose company it was. So this is all part of Joe Boney, the fire chief's idea to bring some interest and raise the awareness of the history of the Biloxi Fire Department. Two last things. Number one is May 16. If you're interested in operating the Pops Ferry Camp, which is a bait shop and live bait, the deadline for interested vendors is May 16th at 10 a.m. And if you want to know more about that, you can call the city's purchasing office at 435-6252. Great opportunity with that bait shop out there. The other thing, that's on the 16th at 10 a.m. is your deadline. Mark your calendars, May 17th. The Biloxi Police Department will have its fallen officer ceremony. That's going to be at 9:30 in the morning, May 17th, over at Lopez Cuevas Public Safety Center. That wraps up the show. I think this was one of our worst shows from all the stumbling and mumbling. Do you agree, William?
No, I thought it was very smooth and was very informative and an awful lot of information that you can use. And someday we'll announce that steam returns to Biloxi, but that'll be another time.
And we'll talk about Amtrak one day. Everything we have talked about, every single thing, can be found on the city's website at biloxi.ms.us. And if you have not done it yet, pull out your cell phone right now and text to 888-777, text the word Biloxi, and you'll get a lot of breaking news from us.
You've been listening to City Desk, news and views from City Hall Biloxi, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.